All right, Paul is going to be preaching for us tonight. So, Paul, come on up.
Take your Bibles, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. While you're turning there, I just want to, even though the pastor's not here, I do want to thank him for the privilege to do this. And for those of us young guys here who are training for the ministry, this is a great learning experience, and trust that you will learn through it, yeah, just like I'm learning. So, 1 Timothy chapter 6. We'll be looking at a very familiar passage in the Word of God tonight. But if you're like me, I recently noticed something very amazing in this passage that has is quite sobering. And I trust that tonight, through the Spirit of God's working, that that same soberness will grip your heart, and you'll be stirred to the same end that I was. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verses 6 through 10. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. That first part of verse 10 we're all very familiar with. For the love of money is the root of all evil. And recently we've been studying money in Sunday school, and I was sobered when I saw the last part of that verse. Which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Tonight we're going to be looking at three steps to finding freedom from money's death grip. Three steps to finding freedom from money's death grip. If I seem a little earnest or a little passionate, it's for your good. Tonight as I preach, I do not want you to experience what that last part of these verses talk about. I want you to know what the freedom is in the financial way, to have freedom in your money, so that the Lord can have true control over your money. And I don't want you to experience the last part, having erred from the faith and pierced through with many sorrows. I trust that tonight as we look at this text, that you will come to the same conclusion, that you will become convinced in your mind that the love of money is truly the root of all evil, and that we will fear it. First of all, if we are going to find freedom in this area, we must first have the right mindset about money. We must first have the right mindset about money. Look at verses 6 through 8, and we're going to find here the biblical mindset. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Here we find a biblical perspective, a biblical mindset relating to money. We see here that godliness with contentment is great gain. How opposite is that to the world's perspective? This is the true biblical perspective, understands that money isn't the fix-all. Money isn't the thing that's going to fix all your needs in your life. And this is totally goes against the grain of the world. The world tells us everything is about money. But God says godliness with contentment is great gain. There you find true freedom. There you find true riches when you get godliness and contentment. The Christian ought to be satisfied with what he has, but the world, what does the world say? They constantly say bigger or better. That's what the world is constantly saying. And the Christian ought to have the mindset, no, it's not bigger and better, what I have, and be content with that. God has given me the other aspect of the biblical mindset is that God has given me this money, so I should be willing to give it back to him. You see that all throughout in different parts of Scripture. Malachi, you see how God says, you're robbing from me. And it is God who has given that money to us, and we ought to be willing. A biblical mindset in a Christian, and a Christian can have an unbiblical mindset. But if we're going to be a Christian that has a biblical mindset, we're going to see our money as not ours, but God's, and be willing to give it back to him. Also, the fact that we brought nothing into the world and will take nothing out of this world proves that money ought not to be our main focus. And so often we make money our main focus when it didn't come into this world with us, and we're not going to take it out with us. And it's just simply a tactic of Satan to get us focused on the wrong thing. Of course, I'm not standing up here saying money is useless and you shouldn't have any of it. That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about having the right perspective, the right mindset when it comes to your money. If money will keep people out from heaven, don't you think that as Christians it can keep us from living the way we ought? And my, how many Christians there are who have the wrong perspective when it comes to money. And if it can keep someone from heaven, a rich man, the Bible says it's hard for a rich man to enter into heaven. If that money can keep someone from heaven, how much more can, as a Christian, can that money keep us from living the way God wants us to live? So we see here in verse 6 to 8, the biblical perspective, the biblical mindset. Do you have that biblical mindset? What is it in your life that you want, that you're not content with? That you keep, maybe that's what drives you to go to work because you're not content with something. And we need to have the biblical mindset that whatever I have, I need to be content with it. It might not be the best vehicle, but you know what? I'm content with it. It might not be the best whatever, but I'm going to be content with that because that's what God has given me. That's the biblical perspective, biblical mindset about our money. Let's look also at the world's mindset. Obviously, the world's mindset is completely opposite of what God's or the biblical's perspective is. You've heard the phrase, money makes the world go round. Or money is the fix-all, or you've heard the American dream. These are all things that drive our society. And it's no wonder that Christians, as we are out in the world, we become inundated with this thinking because this is the thinking of the world. Everyone out in the world, that's what their mindset is, to get more money, to live better, to live happier. And as we see in Scripture and as you look at throughout history, that is not the case. Money is not the source of happiness. A Christian can know for sure that he has a wrong love for money if he can't afford to tithe. And this is just directly tied. It's not necessarily in this passage, but in our mindset of money, this is so key. If you're out here and you're a Christian and you say, I can't afford to tithe, you can mark it down. You have the wrong perspective about money. You have a love for money that is more or greater than your love for God. And that's the world's mindset. We need to get rid of that mindset, and we need to reject having that mindset. What are some some practical ways to know if the world's mindset, if you have the world's mindset or a biblical mindset? Am I willing to sacrifice spiritual things to gain money? These are questions I want you to ask yourself. Am I willing to sacrifice spiritual things to gain money? Am I willing to sacrifice to get more money, more than I'm willing to sacrifice for spiritual things? Maybe there's something spiritual that you can receive, and you know what? You're not willing to sacrifice for that. But when it comes to getting more money, you know, you're going to sacrifice sleep. You're going to sacrifice time, whatever it is, to get it. And if we're more willing to sacrifice to get that money than we're willing to sacrifice for spiritual food or spiritual things, it's a sure thing that you can mark in your life. Money has a greater priority in our life. We have that love of money more than we ought to. Do I think about money or how to get it when I have spare time, like in church? You know, maybe we're sitting here tonight and you're thinking about maybe a job or some money that you can possibly make. And you know what? I'm guilty of that too. And it's so easy to get that mindset because it's our flesh wants it, and the world is constantly has that mindset too. Am I content with what I have? These are all questions that we need to ask ourselves. And if in any way we answer these questions not in the way that God would want us to do, it shows us we have, in some areas of our lives, a wrong perspective about money. We have that love for money. And as we'll see later, that love for money is the root of all evil, and it has terrible consequences. These two mindsets are not only vastly different in action, but the consequences of these two mindsets are a world apart. One brings peace, satisfaction, and blessing, and the other misery, shame, and unsatisfied longings. Secondly, on the three steps to finding freedom from money's death grip. First of all, you have to have the right mindset about money, but also you must understand the consequences of the love of money. I'm going to take these points right from the text. We see, first of all, that the first consequence of the love of money is temptations and a snare. Notice verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. The desire to be rich will set before you many temptations. I think of, there might be many coffee drinkers out here, but you know, that's one thing in my life that I said no to. I'm not going to be a coffee drinker. You know, I might have other things, but you know what? I said no to coffee for a specific reason. Because later in the rest of my life, it would prevent temptations that I didn't want. And I just think of going to school, you hear, well, you need to drink coffee to help you stay awake in class. Or, you know, and your friends, I'd see my friends going to the coffee table and getting coffee all the time. And I said, you know what, I don't want to be tempted with that every time the bell rings or every time I get up in the morning to use that to keep me awake. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with coffee. But just my point is, coffee was a temptation that something that I kept out of my life so that I wouldn't receive all these temptations. And in the same way, the love for money is something that is put into our lives, and by not dealing with it or getting rid of it, we receive all sorts of temptations. See, because I don't love coffee, or I don't drink it, it's not a temptation to stop and get a dollar coffee at McDonald's. And in the same way, if we don't have that love for money, all these temptations that come as a result of it are not going to be a part of our lives. Temptations and a snare. We see here that the idea of the snare is like a bird being caught suddenly in a snare or in a net. You know, that bird's just flying along and unexpectedly it's caught in a net. And you know what? That's exactly what the love of money will do. You'll be going along and you think everything's great, and then at any time, you'll be caught in a snare that you can't get out of, or that is just over your head. So just in that same example, you know, I've spared myself a lot of headaches because of not accepting coffee or letting coffee become in my life. And in the same way, a person can spare themselves much misery by saying no to the love of money and getting rid of that in their life. We also see here another consequence of the love of money is many foolish and hurtful lusts. The idea here is a drowning man in the sea. And you can think of the same idea is used when the Apostle Paul was shipwrecked and he was in the sea for a night and a day and he was hanging there by some log or whatever. But imagine being nighttime and you get shipwrecked and you're hanging there on a board and the sun comes up and all you can see is water. Wouldn't that be a helpless feeling? And that same idea is in the foolish and hurtful lust is that same idea here is being drowned. Read the verse here, which drowned men in destruction and perdition. And if we're going to have that love for money, it's guaranteed that we're going to get into a certain place in our life where it's going to be hopeless, and we're going to have this feeling where I just can't get out of it, just like that feeling of drowning. And just being in the middle of the sea, you can't get away from it. And that's what comes with the love of money. Money, in many cases, is what keeps people from being saved. You know, and it keeps them in that hopeless feeling where I can't find freedom from it. We see here also these are very sober things. And to think that we have such a low mindset of our money. And we constantly get this mindset of loving our money when there are such sober results. This is in all of it. We've just seen two of them. But notice also in verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. The love of money is something that will cause us to turn from the faith, cause us to err from the faith. I think of Demas, how he left Paul because he loved the present world. Undoubtedly, there was some love of money, love of something that caused him to turn away from serving the Lord. I think of throughout church history, and I took a church history class, and I'm reminded of the man named Tetzel, and how he went throughout Europe. And if you know anything about the Catholic Church, you might recognize this name. But he was the one who began to sell indulgences because the Catholic Church needed money. And so they made up a scheme in which they could make some money. But what was it? It was the love of money. That money has driven churches, it has driven institutions, it has driven men away from the truth, has driven them away from the faith. And it is likely it can do the same to us if we have that love for money. But it doesn't end there. Notice also, verse 10, not only have they erred from the faith, but they're pierced themselves through with many sorrows. It just keeps getting worse here and keeps compiling things on this love for money, which we are so, in this culture, in this day and age, we are so bombarded with. In many cases, we have it in our own lives. But look at the consequences. And here's another one. Pierced with many sorrows. We all know this to be truth. The richest people are often the saddest people. I was reading an illustration or reading a story of some people, and years ago they had organization that I think the 27 richest people in the world came together. And from that, they took a little survey of the rest of those people, the rest of their lives. And many of them committed suicide. Many of them lived the most worthless lives and unhappy lives because of their money. And I remember hearing about one guy who had so much money, he said, I spend more time guarding it than I do using it. And that is exactly what the love of money will bring. It will pierce us through with many sorrows. I read about one guy who counted 14 days in his whole life that he actually smiled. He had more money than you, probably everyone in here combined. And he said, I've counted 14 days in my life that I have actually put a smile on my face or had a reason to smile. That is what the love of money will do. It pierces us with many sorrows. Parents will experience sorrow in their kids if they live for money. If you're living for money, you're going to experience sorrows through your kids. Your kids will get that same passion and drive for the love of money. And they'll ruin their lives, and it'll bring sorrow to your own life because you have led them that way. Why is it that many kids, Christian kids, don't go into the Lord's work? Because of the love of money. Many times that is the case. They'll give up the Lord's work. They'll give up spiritual reward for earthly gain. Perhaps you're here tonight, and after looking at these things, maybe you're convicted. But maybe there's someone out here who says, you know what, and this, maybe I don't even need to bring this up, but you say, you know what, Paul, right there in verse 10, it proves there's exceptions. It says, some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through. So you're saying, you know, Paul, I think I could be the exception to that rule. You know what, if you're here tonight, and, you know, I trust that no one actually looked at that and said, you know what, there's exceptions. But if you're saying tonight there's exceptions to the rule, it proves the fact that you have a love for money. And you can expect many of these consequences to be in your life. Foolish, hurtful lust. You can expect to be the temptation to turn away from the faith. You can expect sorrow in your life. You know, this is such an easy thing to let into our lives. This love for money. Because it's constantly around us. You turn on the radio and it's all about money. Things that people do because of money. And that's the whole drive of our society, is to be driven by money. But I pray that we would not have that mindset. So whether you have already experienced these consequences or not, there remains one step further before you will find true freedom from money's death grip. And let's look at that. The third step is to follow the path to freedom from the love of money. We find that in verse 11. Bible says, but thou, O man, he's saying, he gave us all these consequences, all these things about the love of money, and then he says, but thou, O man of God. Paul here is talking to Timothy, and I'll just point this out here. In verse 5, he's talking about how some have, supposing that gain is godliness, and apparently in Paul's time, and Timothy's time, there were people who were being religious or changing a religious, maybe they were the pastor of a church or something, and they were using that to get gain. And Paul was warning Timothy specifically in this passage against doing that, against turning from towards that love of money, which would eventually cause him to turn from the faith. And apparently there in this day, as today, is so prevalent, there's people who are perverting the truth, who are using godliness as a gain to get money. And that's why Paul said the opposite, but godliness with contentment is great gain. So we find here that, and then he goes on in verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. The first thing, this path requires two things. First of all, that you flee. You know what, if you're going to flee something, you must first admit there's a danger. And maybe you're out here sitting and you're just, you know what, he's preaching, but there's not a great danger in the love of money. You know what, tonight the first thing you need to do is admit there's great danger. We've seen many consequences, and there's much more that we could give. But we've seen just four consequences that are tremendous consequences as a result of a love for money. And the first thing we have to do is we have to admit, you know what, there is a great danger. There is a danger in my heart. There's a tendency in my flesh to have that love for money because it satisfies the flesh. Are you willing to admit that tonight? Are you willing to admit, you know what, he's right. The scripture is right. There is great danger in that love for money. Also, you must admit that you have had a love for money. If you're here tonight, and you know what, you can be here tonight and have that right relationship with God and not truly not have a love for money. And I trust that is everyone here. But the case is that's not always the way it is. And if you're here tonight and you say, you know what, money has a grip in my life. I have a love for money that is not biblical. It's not pleasing to God. The first thing you have to do is admit there's a danger, but you also must admit that you have that love for money, and that's what's driving you. You know, if you don't admit that you have that love for money, you know what? You're not going to find freedom from money's grip. You're not going to be free from those consequences. You must admit the danger and admit that you have sinned against God. You've had that love for money that is unbiblical. So not only must you flee, but you must follow. Notice in verse 11, he says, not only to flee these things, but to follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. And we're not going to talk about those things, but you know what? Something has to replace that love, and it has to be back to God. Not only must you flee, but at the same time, you must follow after, these different things. Follow after the Lord. If you don't replace that emptiness in your life, if you say, I'm just going to flee money, that's not going to give you freedom. Because before you know it, you'll be right back in that love of money. You must not only flee, but you have to follow after righteousness and those things. In the same way that a deer flees as soon as it senses danger, if you're a hunter, you understand that. As soon as that time of year, they get that itch in their body, they just understand that as soon as they see someone, they're trying to kill them. And as soon as they sense danger, they're gone. And that's the idea here. Paul says to flee these things, understanding there's a danger, understanding that this could pull your heart, undermine your faith. You need to flee these things. And at the first sight of danger, that deer flees. Can we not do that tonight in a much greater way? We've seen the danger. We must flee from this love of money. You know, as Christians, we're happy to believe the Word of God when it says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And we'd all give a hearty amen to that. But is it not the same Word of God that says, if you follow after money, if you have that love of money, you're going to be pierced through with many sorrows. You're going to be tempted to turn from the faith. You're going to be foolish. You'll experience foolish and hurtful lusts. You'll receive temptations and snares. And as Christians, we compartmentalize the promises of the Word of God. We take that one, that he that believeth on the Son, and many others. But can we not heed in the same way this simple command? That the love of money is the root of all evil, which well some coveted after. They have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. There's probably no easier way than to hurt ourselves, to hurt our families, to hurt our Christian walk, than to gain a love for money. And you know what? It's probably the simplest thing that we can let into our lives. We can let that love of money control us. And it is the root of so many different things. But would you tonight look in your own heart and say, you know what? Have I had that love for money? Those questions I ask. Am I willing to sacrifice spiritual things to gain money? Am I willing to do these other things and putting money a priority in my life? If we're doing those things, we have a serious need in our life. There are serious consequences. No, it's not hell, but folks, they're dear consequences. They're great consequences that will hurt us. And we ought to awaken ourselves tonight and say, you know what? I've been living for money. If that's you tonight, you need to get rid of that in your life. Because these consequences are sure to come, just as the Word of God has said. So I trust tonight, if that's your situation, if you've experienced that love for money, and right now you're in the middle of that, you have a love relationship with that money, and you think about it, and it controls you. God has given us three simple ways right here. First of all, we need to have a mindset about the right mindset about money. But we also need to understand the consequences and let those consequences drive us to, away from the love of money and to follow after the path to freedom, which is to flee those things and to follow what God has told us to follow. And you know what? We can experience tonight freedom from money's death grip. Money is controlling the people in this community. Money is sending people to hell, and money is keeping God's people from fulfilling His great commission, from fulfilling His plan for their lives. And may we tonight as a church look in our hearts and say, you know what, do I have that love for money? And if it's there, would you please, for your own sake, would you get rid of it and deal with it? And then for the sake of this church here, would you also deal with it? Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for the simplicity of the Word of God and the great clarity of it, but also, Lord, the extreme. Lord, we see tonight how much you love us by revealing to us the consequences for this love of money. Lord, it is so present in our society and in our amongst Christians. And Father, I pray that you would deliver us tonight from the love of many, the love of money. And Lord, it is keeping your blessing away from churches all across this land because of the love of money. Lord, would you bring us back to that first love towards you? And would you deliver us from this love of money? Father, I pray if there's people here tonight who have a love for money, Lord, an unbiblical mindset. Lord, maybe they're down that pathway, and maybe they're even experiencing the consequences. Lord, they're being tempted to turn from the faith. Maybe they're experiencing sorrow because of this love of money. I pray that you would not let the blinders, Lord, that Satan would love to blind them with and to think they're okay, Lord. Would you destroy those? Would you open their eyes that they would see, Lord, the reality, see the consequences, see what's causing it, and may they be willing to turn from it, to flee it, Lord, with all their life. And so we thank you for the truth of the Word of God. I pray that you would help us as a church to forsake the love of money and to follow after righteousness and the things of God. In Jesus' name, amen.